You have the sources. That is not the problem. The problem is what happens when every source does every job. Think of a research paper where Gadamer defines Bildung, then Humboldt defines Bildung, then Aristotle defines Bildung, then Bruford defines Bildung. Four paragraphs in, the reader has no idea whose argument this is. That is the source trap. It is not a shortage of material. It is a failure of assignment. A strong paper does not collect authorities. It deploys them. Each thinker gets a role, one role, and the argument stays yours. Now, the paper you are building moves through seven sections: opening tension, definition, historical grounding, mechanism, example, critique, and conclusion. The key idea is that each section has a dominant job, and each source belongs to specific sections rather than all of them. Humboldt belongs in definition and positive vision. Bruford and Alves belong in historical grounding and critique. Gadamer belongs in the mechanism section. Goethe belongs near internalization or the conclusion. Aristotle belongs in one subordinate moment, clarifying stable capacity. That is the architecture. Sources placed by function, not by prestige. Before the individual roles, here is the hierarchy. Gadamer is the primary theoretical engine. Bruford and Alves are the tradition mappers. Humboldt is the normative ideal. Goethe is the organic image. Aristotle is the analogy. That ordering matters. It tells you how much space each source gets and how much argumentative weight each one carries. Gadamer gets the most sustained engagement. Aristotle gets the least. Goethe gets a paragraph, maybe two. The hierarchy is not about which thinker is greater. It is about which one does the most work inside your specific argument. Gadamer's job is to explain how formation happens through interpretation and dialogue. His account treats understanding as active, not passive. The learner does not receive meaning. The learner participates in making it. That is exactly what your mechanism needs at the interpretation step. Gadamer's concept of historically affected understanding shows how prior assumptions shape what a learner can see. His fusion of horizons describes what happens when encounter with something unfamiliar revises those assumptions. One important note, Gadamer discusses self-education within his broader hermeneutical framework. He does not offer a standalone doctrine. Use him to support your learner agency claim, not to replace it. The danger with Gadamer is over-Gadamerizing. If he appears in every section, the paper becomes a hermeneutics paper. It stops being a Bildung paper. Keep him in the mechanism section, especially around attention, interpretation, and transformed judgment. A paper-ready transition you can adapt. If Humboldt names the ideal toward which Bildung reaches, Gadamer helps explain how such formation occurs. That sentence does two things at once. It positions Humboldt as the aim and Gadamer as the process. It keeps both thinkers in their lanes. Alves does something different. His job is precision and tension. He helps you define Bildung accurately, which means distinguishing it from schooling, from generic self-improvement, and from any merely instrumental model of education. That work belongs in your definition section. Then Alves returns in the critique section, where you need to acknowledge that Bildung has historically carried contested meanings, including problems of elitism and exclusion. The danger here is letting Alves turn the paper into a literature survey. He clarifies and sharpens. He does not replace your argument. Use him to set the boundaries of the concept, then move forward. Bruford maps the German tradition of self-cultivation. He gives you historical depth on personality formation, inward development, and the social setting of Bildung. He also names the tension between genuine formation and class-coded refinement. That tension is important. It keeps your optimistic account honest. Bruford deserves more than a passing citation. He is not a footnote, but he is also not your central theorist. Think of him as the historian who shows where the tradition came from and what complications it carried. He appears in early historical grounding and again in the cautionary moment of your critique section. Bruford and Alves together present an oversimplified picture. Humboldt supplies the aim. His vision of Bildung is the free and harmonious development of a person's powers into a coherent whole. That is the positive anthropology your paper needs. And here is something worth noting. Humboldt's ideal is not purely inward. It requires freedom together with variety of situations and rich interaction with the world. That means Humboldt is not just an idealist. He is making a claim about conditions. Place him in your definition and positive vision sections. He can also bridge into your mechanism. The danger is loftiness without mechanism. Humboldt names what Bildung aims at. Gadamer explains how it moves. You need both. Goethe gives your paper an image. His concept of Bildung connects to his scientific morphology, where formation and transformation describe organic development, not merely poetic growth. For example, think of metamorphosis not as a metaphor for feeling changed, but as a precise account of how a living form unfolds through encounter and internal reorganization. That is the image you want near internalization and transformed judgment. It illuminates what the mechanism produces. The danger is aestheticizing the argument. Goethe should clarify, not replace. One strong paragraph near the conclusion is enough. Let the image do its work, then return to your conceptual language. Aristotle's role is the smallest and the most precisely bounded. His concept of hexis is not adequately captured by the word habit. Scholarly accounts describe hexis as an active condition, a stable disposition expressed in deliberate action. That is a useful analogy for what your mechanism produces at internalization and transformed judgment, but you must make the distinction explicit. Aristotle's virtue ethics focuses primarily on moral character and choice. Bildung is broader. It includes intellectual, cultural, aesthetic, vocational, hermeneutic, and world-related formation. Say that in the paper. One paragraph, possibly a footnote adjacent moment. If Aristotle starts appearing in three sections, the paper has become an Aristotle paper. Now, the practical rule. Most paragraphs should have one dominant source role, not six names in one sentence. Six names in one sentence flattens every distinction you just built. The reader cannot tell who is doing what. Here is a compact source role sentence you can adapt directly. Gadamer supplies the hermeneutic account of how formation occurs through self-education and dialogue. Humboldt supplies the liberal humanist ideal of the free development of powers. Bruford and Alves locate that ideal within the historically complex Bildung tradition. Goethe offers an organic image of transformation. Aristotle clarifies, by analogy, how formation can become stable capacity. That sentence is a map. It is also a thesis. The dangers are specific. Name-dropping, citing a thinker without assigning a function. Source-flattening, letting every source define, explain, historicize, and critique simultaneously. Over-Gadamerizing, turning the mechanism section into a hermeneutic seminar. Over-Aristotelianizing, letting hexis expand until the paper needs a virtue ethics framework. Turning Bruford into the whole paper. Getting so deep into German cultural history that your argument disappears. Using Goethe too poetically. Beautiful sentences that float free of the argument. And one more. Letting the critique section erase your optimistic lens. The critique is honest. It is not a retraction. Bildung remains a supportive, hopeful account of whole person formation. The takeaway is a source map you can keep beside your draft. Humboldt. Job is the normative ideal. Location is definition and positive vision. Limit is do not let loftiness replace mechanism. Bruford and Alves. Job is tradition and tension. Location is historical grounding and critique. Limit is do not let history replace argument. Gadamer. Job is interpretive self-education. Location is mechanism section. Limit is do not let hermeneutics replace Bildung. Goethe. Job is organic image. Location is internalization or conclusion. Limit is one paragraph. Aristotle. Job is stable capacity analogy. Location is internalization moment. Limit is one subordinate paragraph with explicit distinction. Your seven-step mechanism binds them. Humboldt gives the aim. Bruford and Alves give the tradition. Gadamer explains the process. Goethe gives the image. Aristotle clarifies the result. The mechanism makes it one argument. Now let's make this concrete. Think of your paper as a series of rooms, and each source has a room where it lives. The introduction names the tension, information without formation, No source dominates here. You set the problem in your own voice. Then the definition paragraph arrives. Humboldt enters first. He names the aim. Alves enters second, sharpening what Bildung is not. That is two sources, two distinct jobs, one paragraph. The historical grounding paragraph belongs to Bruford, with Alves nearby. They map the tradition together. Then the mechanism section opens, and Gadamer takes the lead. He explains how interpretation, dialogue, and historically affected understanding drive the movement from attention through struggle to transformed judgment. That is his room. He does not need to appear in the definition paragraph or the conclusion. One room, one job. The mechanism is where he earns his place. The critique paragraph returns to Alves and Bruford. They supply the honest tension. Elitism, exclusion, contested meanings. Your optimistic lens does not disappear here. It holds. The critique acknowledges complexity without retracting the claim. Then the conclusion, Goethe arrives. One image of organic becoming, metamorphosis, unfolding. Aristotle may appear in a brief subordinate moment near internalization, then step back. The conclusion closes in your voice, with the mechanism as the spine. The key idea is this: one paragraph, one dominant source. For example, suppose you write a sentence that reads, as Gadamer, Humboldt, Bruford, Alves, Goethe, and Aristotle all suggest. That sentence tells the reader nothing. It is decoration, not argument. Each name needs a function. Each citation needs to advance a claim. When you feel the urge to stack names, ask which one is actually doing the work in this sentence. Use that one. Save the others for their rooms. Here is a transition sentence you can place at the hinge between your definition and mechanism sections, Evan. Use it or adapt it. If Humboldt names the ideal toward which Bildung reaches, Gadamer helps explain how such formation occurs. That single sentence does real structural work. It hands the argument from the normative vision to the interpretive process. It signals to the reader that the paper has two distinct moves and that both are necessary. Now the warnings, stated plainly. Name-dropping is citing without assigning a function. Source flattening is letting every thinker define, explain, historicize, and critique at once. Over-Gadamerizing turns your mechanism section into a hermeneutic seminar. Over-Aristotelianizing lets Hexis expand until you need a full virtue ethics framework. Turning Bruford into the whole paper buries your argument in German cultural history. Using Goethe too poetically produces beautiful sentences that float free of the argument. And letting the critique section erase your optimism is the quietest danger of all. The critique is honest. It is not a retraction. The takeaway is a source map. Keep it beside your draft. Humboldt, normative ideal, definition and positive vision. Do not let loftiness replace mechanism. Bruford and Alves, tradition and tension, historical grounding and critique. Do not let history replace argument. Gadamer. Interpretive self-education, mechanism section, do not let hermeneutics replace Bildung, Goethe, organic image, internalization or conclusion, one paragraph, Aristotle, stable capacity analogy, internalization moment, one subordinate paragraph with explicit distinction. Evan, you have the material. The task now is discipline. Your seven-step mechanism is the spine that holds every source in place. Humboldt gives the aim. Bruford and Alves give the tradition and its tensions. Gadamer explains the interpretive process. Goethe gives the image of organic becoming. Aristotle clarifies the stable result. The mechanism binds them. Encounter, attention, interpretation, struggle, practice, internalization, transformed judgment. That sequence is not a list of sources. It is one argument, and the paper should sound exactly like that. One argument. Using sources, moving forward, now the concrete language. Here are sentences you can adapt directly, Evan. Gadamer supplies the hermeneutic account of how formation occurs through self-education and dialogue. Humboldt supplies the liberal humanist ideal of the free development of powers. Bruford and Alves locate that ideal within the historically complex Bildung tradition. Goethe offers an organic image of transformation. Aristotle clarifies, by analogy, how formation can become stable capacity. That is one sentence doing the work of six sources. Notice what it does not do. It does not say all six thinkers agree. It says each one contributes something distinct. That distinction is the argument. The key idea is the hinge sentence. Place this at the transition between your definition and mechanism sections. If Humboldt names the ideal toward which Bildung reaches, Gadamer helps explain how such formation occurs. That sentence does real structural work. It hands the argument from normative vision to interpretive process. It tells the reader the paper has two distinct moves, and both are necessary. Think of it as a door between rooms. Humboldt is on one side, Gadamer is on the other. The sentence opens the door. Suppose you write a sentence that reads, as Gadamer, Humboldt, Bruford, Alves, Goethe, and Aristotle all suggest. That sentence tells the reader nothing. Six names, zero argument. Each citation must advance a claim. When you feel the urge to stack names, stop. Ask which one is actually doing the work in this sentence. Use that one. Save the others for their rooms. One paragraph, one dominant source. That is citation economy. It is not laziness. It is precision. Now the warnings, stated plainly. Name dropping is citing without assigning a function. Source flattening is letting every thinker define, explain, historicize, and critique simultaneously. Over-Gadamerizing turns your mechanism section into a hermeneutic seminar. Over-Aristotelianizing lets Hexis expand until you need a full virtue ethics framework. Turning Bruford into the whole paper buries your argument in German cultural history. Using Goethe too poetically produces beautiful sentences that float free of the argument. And the quietest danger? Letting the critique section erase your optimism. The critique is honest. It is not a retraction. Bildung remains a supportive, hopeful account of whole person formation. The takeaway is a source map. Keep it beside your draft. Humboldt, normative ideal, definition and positive vision. Do not let loftiness replace mechanism. Bruford and Alves, tradition and tension, historical grounding and critique. Do not let history replace argument. Gadamer, interpretive self-education, mechanism section. Do not let hermeneutics replace Bildung. Goethe, organic image, internalization or conclusion, one paragraph. Aristotle, stable capacity analogy, internalization moment, one subordinate paragraph, with explicit distinction. Five sources. Five rooms. One argument. Evan, you have the material. The task now is discipline. Your seven-step mechanism is the spine that holds every source in place. Humboldt gives the aim. Bruford and Alves give the tradition and its tensions. Gadamer explains the interpretive process. Goethe gives the image of organic becoming. Aristotle clarifies the stable result. The mechanism binds them, encounter. Attention, interpretation, struggle, practice, internalization, transformed judgment. That sequence is not a list of sources. It is one argument. The paper should sound exactly like that. One argument, using sources, moving forward. With the source roles fixed, the next writing move is drafting paragraphs where your claim leads, one source supports, and the mechanism keeps the whole paper moving toward transformed judgment. Now the paragraph map. Think of your paper as seven rooms. Each room has a primary occupant. The introduction names the tension. Information without formation. No source dominates here. You set the problem in your own voice. The definition paragraph belongs to Humboldt and Alves together. Humboldt supplies the positive vision. Alves sharpens the boundary, preventing Bildung from collapsing into schooling or self-improvement. The historical grounding paragraph belongs to Bruford, with Alves in support. Bruford maps the German tradition. Alves adds the contested meanings. The mechanism section belongs to Gadamer. That is where encounter moves through attention, interpretation, struggle, practice, internalization, and transformed judgment. Gadamer explains the interpretive movement. He does not explain every step alone, but he anchors the interpretive core. The example paragraph belongs to you, Evan. Sources appear only when they clarify your example, not to validate it. The critique paragraph returns to Alves and Bruford for tension, with Gadamer available if the objection concerns interpretation. The conclusion belongs to Goethe and your mechanism. Goethe gives the image of organic becoming. The mechanism gives the final claim. Aristotle appears once. Place him near internalization, where the paper explains how repeated practice becomes stable capacity. Suppose you write something like, Aristotle's concept of hexis, the stable disposition expressed in action, offers a useful analogy here, though Bildung is broader than virtue formation. It includes intellectual, cultural, aesthetic, vocational, and hermeneutic dimensions that Aristotle's moral framework does not fully address. That is the right move. One paragraph, explicit distinction, then move on. Aristotle clarifies without colonizing. The key idea is economy. For example, suppose you write, as Gadamer, Humboldt, Bruford, Alves, Goethe, and Aristotle all suggest. That sentence tells the reader nothing. Six names, zero argument. Now compare. Gadamer's account of historically affected understanding shows how an encounter with the unfamiliar can revise prior assumptions. One name, one claim, one function. That is the difference between a literature dump and a controlled argument. Each citation must advance a specific claim. When you feel the urge to stack names, stop. Ask which one is actually doing the work. Use that one. The hinge sentence connects your two major moves. Place it at the transition between definition and mechanism. Here it is. If Humboldt names the ideal toward which Bildung reaches, Gadamer helps explain how such formation occurs. That sentence does real structural work. It hands the argument from normative vision to interpretive process. It signals to the reader that the paper has two distinct moves and that both are necessary. Think of it as a door between rooms. Humboldt is on one side, Gadamer is on the other. The sentence opens the door, now the warnings, stated plainly. Name-dropping is citing without assigning a function. Source-flattening is letting every thinker define, explain, historicize, and critique simultaneously. Over-Gadamerizing turns your mechanism section into a hermeneutic seminar. Over-Aristotelianizing lets hexis expand until you need a full virtue ethics framework. Turning Bruford into the whole paper buries your argument in German cultural history. Using Goethe too poetically produces beautiful sentences that float free of the argument and the quietest danger, letting the critique section erase your optimism. The critique is honest. It is not a retraction. Bildung remains a supportive, hopeful account of whole person formation. The takeaway is a source map. Keep it beside your draft. Humboldt, normative ideal. Definition and positive vision, do not let loftiness replace mechanism. Bruford and Alves, tradition and tension, historical grounding and critique, do not let history replace argument. Gadamer, interpretive self-education, mechanism section, do not let hermeneutics replace Bildung. Goethe, organic image, internalization or conclusion, one paragraph. Aristotle, stable capacity analogy, internalization moment. One subordinate paragraph with explicit distinction. Five sources, five rooms, one argument. Evan, you have the material. The task now is discipline. Your seven-step mechanism is the spine. Humboldt gives the aim. Bruford and Alves give the tradition and its tensions. Gadamer explains the interpretive process. Goethe gives the image of organic becoming. Aristotle clarifies the stable result. The mechanism binds them. Encounter, attention, interpretation, struggle, practice, internalization, transformed judgment. That sequence is not a list of sources. It is one argument. The paper should sound exactly like that. One argument, using sources, moving forward. Now the sentences you can actually use. These are paper-ready formulations, Evan. Adapt them directly. First, Gadamer supplies the hermeneutic account of how formation occurs through self-education and dialogue. Humboldt supplies the liberal humanist ideal of the free development of powers. Bruford and Alves locate that ideal within the historically complex Bildung tradition. Goethe offers an organic image of transformation. Aristotle clarifies, by analogy, how formation can become stable capacity. That is one sentence cluster. It does the work of a source role thesis. Place it near the end of your introduction or at the opening of your source grounding section. It tells the reader immediately that each thinker has a job. The hinge sentence connects your two major moves. Place it at the transition between definition and mechanism. Here it is. If Humboldt names the ideal toward which Bildung reaches, Gadamer helps explain how such formation occurs. That sentence does real structural work. It hands the argument from normative vision to interpretive process. It signals to the reader that the paper has two distinct moves and that both are necessary. Think of it as a door between rooms. Humboldt is on one side, Gadamer is on the other. The sentence opens the door. The key idea is economy. Suppose you write, as Gadamer, Humboldt, Bruford, Alves, Goethe, and Aristotle all suggest. That sentence tells the reader nothing. Six names, zero argument. Now compare. Gadamer's account of historically affected understanding shows how an encounter with the unfamiliar can revise prior assumptions. One name, one claim, one function. That is the difference between a literature dump and a controlled argument. Each citation must advance a specific claim. When you feel the urge to stack names, stop. Ask which one is actually doing the work. Use that one. Now the warnings, stated plainly. Name-dropping is citing without assigning a function. Source flattening is letting every thinker define, explain, historicize, and critique simultaneously. Over-Gadamerizing turns your mechanism section into a hermeneutics seminar. Over-Aristotelianizing lets hexis expand until you need a full virtue ethics framework. Turning Bruford into the whole paper buries your argument in German cultural history. Using Goethe too poetically produces beautiful sentences that float free of the argument. And the quietest danger, letting the critique section erase your optimism. The critique is honest. It is not a retraction. Bildung remains a supportive, hopeful account of whole person formation. The takeaway is a source map. Keep it beside your draft. Humboldt, normative ideal, definition, and positive vision do not let loftiness replace mechanism. Bruford and Alves, tradition and tension, historical grounding and critique, do not let history replace argument. Gadamer, interpretive self-education, mechanism section, do not let hermeneutics replace Bildung. Goethe, organic image, internalization or conclusion, one paragraph. Aristotle, stable capacity analogy, internalization moment, one subordinate paragraph, with explicit distinction, five sources. Five rooms, one argument. Evan, you have the material. The task now is discipline. Your seven-step mechanism is the spine that holds every source in place. Humboldt gives the aim. Bruford and Alves give the tradition and its tensions. Gadamer explains the interpretive process. Goethe gives the image of organic becoming. Aristotle clarifies the stable result. The mechanism binds them. Encounter, attention, interpretation, struggle, practice, internalization, transformed judgment. That sequence is not a list of sources. It is one argument. The paper should sound exactly like that. One argument, using sources, moving forward. With the source roles fixed, the next writing move is drafting paragraphs where your claim leads, one source supports, and the mechanism keeps the whole paper moving toward transformed judgment.